So we've talked about simple, complex, and trend analyses as four types of analytic comparisons. SPSS makes things particularly simple for trend analysis. You don't even have to look up and put in the codes for the different numbers of categories the way you do when you're doing stuff by hand. In SPSS, they call it a polynomial analysis, and you can tell it what level of polynomial you want. If you have two conditions, you can't look at polynomials because all you have is linear. If you have three, like we just said, we're limited to linear and quadratic. But if you have four or more, you ought to put in that cubic trend and get the complete description of the data pattern. You'll notice that when we were talking about simple comparisons, complex comparisons, or trend analyses, we didn't talk about alpha inflation and alpha correction. That's because, for the most part, you don't hear that conversation. Why? Because each of these limits itself to the number of comparisons that matches the degrees of freedom in the design. The degrees of freedom in an ANOVA design is the number of IV conditions minus one. And we've talked about how the deal is that your p-value is kind of like your allowance. You got 5% coming. You can spend it however you want. The other part of that deal is that in a particular ANOVA, you've got a particular number of degrees of freedom that are coming to you that are also part of that allowance. And so as long as you don't spend more than the degrees of freedom number of comparisons, you can test each one of those at the 0.05. If you want to test more than that, like if you were doing all possible pairwise comparisons, then the alpha inflation concerns kick in. So simple, complex, and analytic comparisons typically are done without any alpha correction, and the p-value you get is essentially an LSD, an uncorrected comparison. So how do you mess up interpreting analytic comparisons? Not that I'm trying to teach you how to mess up, but I am trying to teach you what to watch for. Analytic comparisons are typically taught a little more quickly than the others. They're kind of tagged on at the end. Very often people haven't had those same models again when they were taught regression, and so they're not as familiar with them as others. So I want to make sure that you are familiar with them and you know what to look for, both in your own analyses and when you're reading about an analytic comparison that was done by somebody else. So really, for simple comparisons, the only thing you really have to check is, did they get the direction right? Because the significance test comes back with a p-value. It tells you whether or not there's a difference. It doesn't tell you the direction of the difference. Most statistical packages don't give you a positive t for one direction of effect and a negative t for the other. Some use t-tests, some use f-tests, but just because you have a significant effect doesn't mean you got the significant effect in the direction that you wanted. So make sure that whenever you have a significant simple comparison, you're checking the direction. For complex comparisons, that same concern is in play. You want to make sure that you don't get the direction wrong on that complex comparison. But frankly, with complex comparisons, the most common mistake is to misinterpret a complex comparison as if it were a set of simple comparisons. And this is really important, and I want to take you back and look at this slide, because this is the most common screw up on all of this follow-up analyses for multiple group ANOVAs. If I use this complex analysis, I'm saying I want to lump those together and compare it to this. I want to compare the average of 25 with this 40. The only way to represent the result of that is whether the average mean difference of treatment one and treatment, I'm sorry, if the average mean of treatment one and treatment two is different than the mean of the control. If you really want to say both treatment one and treatment two do better than the control, you cannot test that with this. This lumps these together, never to be separated by man nor statistician. You want to compare each of them to the control condition, you got to run them separately. Have I fussed about that enough? That's the one you want to watch out for. Because the cool thing about complex comparisons is that if you include a complex comparison in your analysis, now you can have sets of orthogonal analyses. You can satisfy that orthogonality constraint that a lot of statisticians like. There's my complex comparison, there's my simple comparison. When I do my test by taking the cross products and the sum of the cross products, those two questions are separate. But are they the questions you were trying to ask? And you can't look at this and say, wow, the hell, let's treat this as comparing each of these to that. Can't do it. Watch out for that. That's the most common mistake. When you go on to take other multivariate classes and learn about other models from other people, I want you to keep in mind that most statistical packages, if you give them a specific set of weights, often don't test that set of weights. They test the closest orthogonal set. So not the hypotheses you gave it, but the closest orthogonal set. You can imagine that leads to problems, because it doesn't tell you, excuse me, I didn't test what you wanted to. I tested what I fucking felt like. And here's those results. It just gives you the results. You have to know that your hypotheses have been permuted. Bastards. All right, trend analyses. For any given trend, you know that there's at least two kinds and a null. There's positive null and negative linear. There's inverted null and U-shaped quadratic. There's the three different cubics, including the null. When somebody says, I got a null plus quadratic, there's four different kinds, right? Because you've got a combination of positive or negative linear and then U-shaped and inverted U-shaped quadratic. Which one do you really have? And so being explicit is really, really important. You cannot treat a trend analysis as a set of pairwise comparisons. The place where this has the most common screw-ups is what's called a hypothesis of successive differences. Where with each practice, I claim I'm going to get a significant effect. Just because I have a linear trend doesn't mean that every pairwise comparison is significant. If you want to know a hypothesis test of successive differences, go run pairwise comparisons. Or since you only have four needed tests, run the simple analytics. Either one will give you what you want. But equating a linear trend with successive differences is a bad idea. Because you could have something that's shaped like this. And if you run just a linear trend, you're going to find a significant positive linear trend. But that doesn't mean that these are different from each other. How are we doing? And so in unit 2, picking the right statistic was deciding among correlation chi-square between and within ANOVA. Now, in multiple condition ANOVA, picking the right statistic is picking the follow-up analyses that really test your research hypothesis. Do you need pairwise comparisons or simple analytics? Basically the same thing. Do you need complex comparisons? Do you need trend analyses? That's the choosing the right statistic now. The third and probably the most common in trend analysis we were talking about before is to ignore combinations. When somebody says, I have a quadratic trend, we test for a quadratic trend. It's what they said. It's not what they meant. You should test, whenever it's reasonable, you should test at least linear, quadratic, and cubic, and that's your whole story. Also, remember that these really do have to be quadratic. You can't make shit up. You can't come in later and say, well, you know, we can kind of line them up. My favorite version of that was attachment categories, when people were studying childhood attachment. And they had three attachment forms, cleverly called A, B, and C. And the question was whether we had a linear or quadratic relationship between them. Because the A, B, and C isn't really lining them up. They are qualitatively different attachment categories. And so you want a linear trend? Line them up, A, C, B. Life's good. And you want to watch for that, because sometimes people want to talk about shape when they have to be talking about patterns of differences. Why? Because it's a lot easier to talk about shape than a complex pattern of differences. If you've got seven or eight categories, that's, let's say you got seven categories, that's 42 pairwise comparisons. Ooh, it's going to hurt a little. No, that's not right. It's 21. That's better. Scared me for a second. And so you got to make sure that you're picking the right statistic. And again, here, picking the right statistic means picking the follow-up analyses that give you the most direct test of your research hypothesis.